Okay, so first of all, good evening, everybody. Yishar kol chachen for coming out. I know it's your schedules are very busy, and I'm really excited to have this opportunity to learn halacha together. And it's really amazing, taking the time out of your schedule to come and learn Torah together is awesome. And a big special thank you to Chaya. We've been in frequent contact over the last couple of weeks, getting this together, for putting together the chabura, and to Suzanne and whoever else was involved in putting together the halach, in t putting together the chabura. Really, much appreciation, and hopefully your efforts will really go a long way. Okay, so our time tonight is short, and let's get started right away. We're going to be discussing tonight, in advance of the upcoming Yontif of Purim, the halachos of Mishloach Manos, one of our favorite mitzvos to perform, perhaps even throughout the year. It pays to take a little bit of time to dive into the sugya and try to understand to the greatest degree possible what really underlies the halachos of Mishloach Manos, try to gain a better understanding of the halachos themselves, and also the values that they try to convey and have us experience on the day of Purim. So the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, as we would imagine, begins in the Megillah. Perek Tes in Megillas Esther tells us that Purim is supposed to be Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu U'Matanos L'Avyonim. Supposed to be days of Mishta, of a certain Suda, of a meal, a festive meal together, of Simcha, of joy. Mishloach Manos, sending portions of food to each other, Ish L'Re'ehu, it's going to be an important phrase, and also Matanos L'Avyonim. So the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, at the bottom, I think this was on the source sheet. So it establishes from this pasuk that there is a mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And from the phrase Ish L'Re'ehu, so we derive that the obligation is to give two portions of food to one person. And that's in distinction from the mitzvah of Matanos L'Avyonim, which is two matanos to two different people. So we know Mishloach Manos is 2 to 1. So the very first question that we need to analyze together is this really even a relevant topic for us tonight? Are women obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? So you're going to tell me, well, I've been giving Mishloach Manos my whole life. I sure hope I'm obligated. So we're going to come out that is the case, that women are obligated just as much as men in this mitzvah. But where does that all come from, and why is there even a little bit of controversy over this? So we noted before that the pasuk says Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. A person is supposed to send to his friend Mishloach Manos. So there could be two different ways that we interpret the word Ish. You could say that it's literal, and that what it really means is a man as opposed to a woman. Or you could say that Ish is just a generic way of describing people. We know very often Lashon HaTorah is to use the word Ish just to denote a person, a human being. So this actually was a machlokes in the poskim. The Pri Chadash was of the opinion that the word ish is supposed to be taken literally, and that there is no proof that women are obligated in the mitzvah, and really only men are obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Yes, the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Dalet and Aleph says that women are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah because of Afhin Hayu Ba'uso Hanis, because they were also included in the miracle of Purim in whatever way that might be. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're obligated in all of the mitzvos on Purim. So says the Pri Chadash, from the word ish, we should derive that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. However, we do not paskin like the Pri Chadash, because the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Tzadi Hei Sif Dalid, that's the Sif for Mishloach Manos. So the Ramah says that of course women are obligated in Mishloach Manos. And the word ish is not really meant to be taken literally, it just means a person. The Mishnah Berurah explains there also that if women are obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah because of Afhin Hayu Ba'oso Hanis, so they should be obligated in all of the mitzvos of Purim. So certainly there is no doubt that both men and women are obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Now, this does have a very practical consequence, especially for married women. So if you take a look at the Chai Adam, so the Chai Adam points out, this is in source number 4, he says, "Umikom makom." This is in the middle of the line. Isha sheyesh la baal. If a woman has a husband, so she's married, So it used to be that Somecha Shebaila Sholeach Beshvilav. Many, many women in the times of the Chaya Adam would rely on their husbands to send Mishloach Manos on their behalf. And the Magen Avram also points out, this is not on the source sheet, but the Magen Avram points out that in his time, he looked around and many married women were not sending Mishloach Manos. And the Chaya Adam says that this is Eino Nachon. This is not correct. This is not the most appropriate practice. Just because someone is married doesn't mean that she is exempt from the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So, you know, it might be that the Magen Avraham lived in a time where, you know, married women weren't so into making a theme for the Mishloach Manos. I know that's my wife's favorite part of Purim, is thinking about the theme. You think about it 2 months in advance of Purim, not just Shloshim Yom, Shishim Yom. You think about it before Purim. But so, I mean, she's obviously going to give Mishloach Manos, because how could she not have our neighbor experience our beautiful Purim theme? But in the times of the Magen Avraham, that might not have been the case. So the Achronim point out that a married woman should also be careful to give her own Mishloach Manos, or at least to explicitly assign or designate her husband to give on her behalf. Okay, so Ad Kan, we've established that women are obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. What we need to do now is try to analyze the essence of the mitzvah. Let's get to the bread and butter, the bare bones of the mitzvah, and try to understand really what the mitzvah is all about. So I had for you on the source sheet, this is in sources number 5 and 6. There is a debate between the Trumas HaDeshen, who is one of the foremost of Ashkenazi Rishonim, a lot of Ashkenazi halacha is based on the Trumas HaDeshen, especially Ashkenazi Minhag, the Rama quotes from the Trumas HaDeshen. And there was also another view cited by the Manos HaLevi. The Manos HaLevi was Rab Shlomo HaLevi Alkevitz. And I don't know if anybody is familiar with that name, but what he's most famous for was composing Lecha Dodi. So whenever I sing Lecha Dodi, I not only have Hakaras HaTov to Rab Shlomo HaLevi Alkevitz for putting together such a beautiful piyut that we sing every Kabbalah Shabbos, but also for his beautiful interpretation of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So what is this all about? So the Trumas HaDeshen and the Manos HaLevi really present two differing, distinct views about what the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is really all about. Says the Trumas HaDeshen, we'll read it inside, it's very short. Source number 5, skip to the second paragraph, Tshuva. Yera'eh, it seems to me, de'ein yotzin bohen, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos with things like clothes or sheets, but rather you have to use food. Why do you have to use food? De'nir atam de Mishloach Manos hu, kidei sheyehe lechol echad dai v'safik lekayim hasuda. According to the Trumas HaDeshen, the reason for the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to facilitate the Sudas Purim of everyone in Klal Yisrael. On Purim, we have a special concern that every single Jew should have enough food to have a Sudas Purim and to be able to tap into that incredible joy that we experience on Purim. So we go out of our way to send food to others in order to ensure that everybody around us is going to have a suda. And therefore, you have to send food. Sending clothing is very nice, but it's not going to help one fulfill the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. Only sending food will help with that mitzvah. That's the view of the Trumas HaDeshen. The Manos HaLevi of Shlomo HaLevi Alkevitz has a different opinion. Source number 6, this is in his Perush on Megillas Esther. He has a beautiful, beautiful line. This is third to last line in that on that source. He says, "Ki zero means this mitzvah hints to the fact ki heim ba'aguda achas, that Klal Yisrael, the nation of Israel, is all one unit. Ube'ahava ve'achva, and it expresses a sense of love and brotherhood with one another. Hefech masha omar hatzorer mefuzar u'meforad." The tzorer here, the person who inflicts pain, is Haman Harasha. We know that in the third parak of Megillas Esther, Haman describes the Jewish people as an am mifuzar umforad bein ho'amim, as a nation that was dispersed amongst all of the other nations. And this is taken by the Mefarshim as almost like a characterization of the Jewish people, as a people who lacked unity. Everybody was all over the place doing whatever they wanted. That's the way Haman HaRasha looked at the Jewish people. So how do we respond to Haman HaRasha on Purim? How do we correct for that mischaracterization of the Jewish people? We fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. What does the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos do? It exhibits, it relays to everybody around us that sense of love, of brotherhood, of togetherness, of unity. That's what it's all about. In a one-word Hebrew phrase, we might call it a mitzvah of mireyus, of friendship. So, according to the Trumas Hadasha and the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to facilitate the Suda. According to the Manos Halevi, the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to display unity and friendship, to exhibit that mireyos to everybody around us. Now, you might be thinking, so yeah, these are two different ways of explaining the mitzvah, but is there anything really, you know, is there any real difference between them? They seem kind of similar. So I'll give you some nafkamina, some practical ramifications between the two. And we're going to see throughout our discussion of the halachos of Mishloach Manos that many, many, many of the discussions about the particulars and the details of the halacha all relate back to this very fundamental question. So let's begin with the following practical ramification. Let's say that you send Mishloach Manos to one of your friends, but you don't put your name on it. And when you get to their door, so your friend is not home, and you drop it at the door. So your friend doesn't know who gave them the Mishloach Manos. These are what we would call an anonymous Mishloach Manos. So do you fulfill the mitzvah by sending an anonymous Mishloach Manos? So the Ksav Sofer, who was the son of the Chasam Sofer, of Avram Shmuel ben Yomin, he was the son of the Chasam Sofer, his firstborn, his Bechor, he said that this question should depend on these two fundamentally different ways of looking at the mitzvah. If you say that the mitzvah is to facilitate another person's suda, so then you've done that. You've given the food to your friend who can then use it for their suda. It doesn't really matter if they know the identity of the person who gave the Mishloach Manos. As long as they have the food, that would suffice. However, if we say that the mechayiv, the whole idea, the reason for the mitzvah, is to display a sense of mireyos, of unity and friendship, like the Manos Halevi said, so then it's going to entail that the two parties in the relationship know each other. The recipient needs to know the giver so that he knows, he or she knows, who is trying to display that sense of friendship. So this question of whether one fulfills the mitzvah with anonymous Mishloach Manos might depend on these two different reasons. How do we paskin on this halacha? So as we'll see, lemaisa, in practical halacha, we try as best we can to be concerned for both of these perspectives. We try to satisfy both of the perspectives. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, all you have to do is send one gift of two portions of food. So it doesn't take so much to make sure that at least one gift of two portions of food is sent in a non-anonymous fashion, where you make sure that the recipient knows exactly who you are, who was giving them the gift. Okay. So let's now discuss some other practical ramifications and the details of the halachos of Mishloach Manos, and we're going to see, as I said before, that everything really comes back, it revolves around that fundamental question: what the mitzvah is all about. Is it about facilitating a suda, or is it about displaying a warmth and an embrace of friendship? So the first question I wanted to consider together was, to whom should one send their Mishloach Manos? So we said before, we established at the very beginning of the shiur, that it's certainly the case, we paskin alaf lemaisa, both men and women are obligated in Mishloach Manos. The Ramah adds that men should be careful to send only to men, and women should send only to women. So why is this? So this is actually, this reminds me of like those funny stories. You ever have in camp, where, you know, like two, like, you have little kids, like in sixth grade or whatever, and they're like joking around and, you know, they go on a Shabbos walk and then they want to make a whole spiel out of it. So then like the little sixth grade boy, like hands over a ring pop, like to his friend. And like, he like goes through the whole Kiddushin process. And then there's a whole hullabaloo about, oh my gosh, they might have had Kiddushin. What are we going to do? We have to go to the Rav right away. Make sure like none of this actually happened. So that is what happens here in the Shulchan Aruch with Mishloach Manos. The Rama says that a man shouldn't send to a woman because that would actually produce a chashash kiddushin. We would have a concern that when a man gives Mishloach Manos to a woman, so that would actually produce a chashash of kiddushin, which we certainly want to avoid. Now, you might be thinking like, why? Why would I possibly have a chashash kiddushin in this context? So I think that it's this context in specific that is that has this chashash, this concern, because of what we discussed just a few minutes ago. We said that the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos was all about displaying a sense of love and friendship and togetherness. So it's specifically in this context where one is using the Mishloach Manos as a means to express a sense of affection that we would have a chashash of kiddushin. So, sof kol sof, one should be careful to send men to men, women to women. In addition, the Aruch HaShulchan adds here that you should be careful to send your Mishloach Manos to someone who's actually going to get them on Purim. Sometimes you come to someone's house and they're not there, you drop it out the door, you don't even know if they're going to be there on Purim or not. Maybe they went away for the day and they're coming back the next day. So you should see to it that at least, again, one of your Mishloach Manos, with that the two portions of food, should go to someone who's actually going to receive it on Purim. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is quoted as explaining that this is also a kiyum, a fulfillment of that idea of displaying love and friendship. How could you possibly display that to someone who's not going to receive the Mishloach Manos on Purim? That display of friendship is only fulfilled when the recipient actually receives the Mishloach Manos. So those are a couple of ha'aros, a couple of comments about to whom one should send their Mishloach Manos on Purim. So now let's get to perhaps the part of Mishloach Manos that everybody thinks the most about, which is what should you send? When you're sending these two portions of food, so what should you send? So I think like in grade school, we all have this idea that it has to be two different brachos of food, like a mizonos and an adama. So it's absolutely not true. The way that we define manos, portions, two portions of food, is that they have to be two different types of food. But that doesn't mean that they need to have two different brachos. And in fact, if Shlomo Zalman Orbach points out that the difference in type of food does not even need to be that great. Shlomo Zalman argues that like if you send one piece of white meat chicken and another piece of dark meat, that would actually suffice as two different types of food. Rav Yashiv points out that if you have the same food cooked in two different ways, so you have one piece of meat that's cooked and another piece of meat that's roasted, and you send both of them, that would also suffice for the mitzvah. That would be considered two different types of food. So when we say that one is obligated to send shtei manos, two portions of food, they don't have to be completely different. It can't be that you take one thing and you slice it into two different halves. That wouldn't suffice. But to send two different types of food, that would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. What about sending sweets, candy, which is, of course, a widespread practice in Klal Yisrael, and I certainly love it. I'm a big candy lover. So, you know, Purim is a very great day for me, even as old as I am. That definitely won't be going away soon. So do we fulfill the mitzvah with Mishloach Manos by sending candy? So here, you could go in a couple of different directions. On the one hand, candy is certainly food, just as meat and just as, you know, anything else. However, we pointed out at the beginning that the real core of the mitzvah is not only to display a sense of friendship, but also to facilitate another person's Sudas Purim. And we're not going to just put candy on the table when we have a Sudas Purim. We're going to put on Dvarim Chashuvim. We're going to put on significant food onto the table. So Lechatchila, and I heard of Sobolovsky say the same thing, that you should have at least one portion of Mishloach Manos, again, that's all it takes to fulfill the mitzvah, of food that would actually be, you know, fit for a Sudas Purim. So that could be, you know, some meat and a bottle of wine, or, you know, a dish and a bottle of, you know, and two different types of dishes, or whatever it is. You know, it doesn't have to be one type of food, but it should be something that could be served at the meal and would be something that you would expect your recipient to eat on Purim. I had a really funny story a couple of years ago. I was living in Washington Heights. And I had a good friend who was trying to fulfill the mitzvah kedasu kedin. He was trying to do everything exactly the right way. This person was very medaktik b'mitzvos, and he comes running towards me on Amsterdam, like between 185th and 186th. I still remember this. Comes running towards me, and he's holding like a thing of tuna fish, like a can of tuna fish, and a bottle of grape juice, and he's like, "Here's Mishloach Manos. Like, is this good? Like, are you gonna have it?" And I was so like taken aback at that point, because I was stuck in a pickle. Because on the one hand, I really, really don't like tuna fish, but I also didn't want him to feel bad that like this was his only way of fulfilling the mitzvah. So I really didn't know what to do. So I was like, "Yeah, you know what? I like it. I was like, "Well, my wife likes it, so I'll bring it home." And like, you know, maybe someone will eat it. So hopefully he fulfilled the mitzvah that year. But either way, you should make sure to give something that will be served at someone else's suda, and that they would actually eat. Now, a couple more halachos before we wrap up. How much? We've been talking about sending two different types of food, and also respectable type of food that you would serve at a suda. How much of that food do you have to send? So this has many makoros back in Talmud Yerushalmi. We're running a little bit out of time, so I'm going to skip the background on this. But the Bir Halacha, which is the Mishnah Brura's more lengthy Perush on Shulchan Aruch Orach Chaim. So this is the Chafetz Chaim's Perush, where he says that lechatchila, one should try to send a quantity that would be respectable from the perspective of the recipient. So if you're sending to someone who's very wealthy and has very high standards, you should go out of your way to send a gift that would be respectable in that person's eyes. If you're sending to someone who's just like a stam person like me, so okay, so you could send whatever you'd like. But if you're sending to somebody who's really, you know, who's, again, very wealthy, very, you know, very important person, so you should make sure to send something that's going to be mechubad from that person's perspective. That's, again, the best way to fulfill the mitzvah. One more thing about what food we should send is that the Mishnah Brura and the Magen Avraham point out that the food should be cooked. It should be fit to eat. So like, we probably don't do this. You know, you wouldn't just like go to Grand and Essex and Teaneck and like pick up, you know, some like raw meat and send it as a Mishloach Manos. But again, you know, sometimes people send like raw packages of noodles or something like that. The best way to fulfill the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to have food that is totally, totally cooked. Okay, so let's summarize what we saw tonight. We began by discussing who is obligated in the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And we noted that it applies not just to men, even though the pasuk says ish, it also applies to women, and even to married women. Independent of their husbands, married women should also send Mishloach Manos. Then we went on to discuss the nature of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. What is it all about? What's the reason for Mishloach Manos? And we said there was a fundamental debate between the Trumas HaDeshen on the one hand and the Manos HaLevi, Rav Shlomi HaLevi Alkevitz, on the other. According to the Trumas HaDeshen, it was all about facilitating the Suda of everyone in Klal Yisrael. Whereas according to the Manos HaLevi, it wasn't necessarily about the Suda per se, but it was about spreading and disseminating a sense of ahava and reyos, of love and friendship, amongst Klal Yisrael, specifically on the day of Purim. And based on those two views, we discussed a number of halachos associated with the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. So here were some of the conclusions that we reached. Number one, you're supposed to send at least one Mishloach Manos to someone who knows the identity of the person who's giving it. You shouldn't send it anonymously. Number two, the recipient should get the Mishloach Manos on Purim, should make sure to give them to someone who's going to have access to them on Purim itself so that they can enjoy it on Purim and have that feeling of friendship for, between you and them on the day of Purim. Number three, in terms of who to send to. So we said that men should send to men, women should send to women. Again, there's a lot of friendship and affection that's involved in this mitzvah. And then we discussed a lot, excuse me, about what type of food to send. We pointed out that you have to send two different types of food, but that the difference between them doesn't have to be all that great. As long as we could say that they're two different types, then that suffices. Ideally, we should send at least one Mishloach Manos that could really be used at someone's Suda, not just like candy and, you know, that type of thing. It could be fruit, like a dessert, but something that would actually be used at the Suda. Lechatchila, the Bir Halacha pointed out that you should send something that's respectable in the eyes of the recipient. So if you're sending to someone wealthy or important, you should make sure that it's a very nice and mechubedik type of Mishloach Manos. And we finally noted that the food should be cooked so that it can really be enjoyed on Purim without having to invest any other effort. So just to wrap up, I wanted to just discuss for 1 minute the machshava behind this halacha. And here, you know, it doesn't really take a darshan to understand what the halachos of Mishloach Manos are really trying to convey to us. Purim is a day of achdus, of unity amongst Klal Yisrael. As we noted at the very beginning, Haman described us as a dispersed nation, an Am Mefuzar u'Meforar. And our response to that is to band together. And we do that by fasting on Tanis Esther, by davening. And we did it in the times of Shushan and Mordechai and Esther by fighting together. And eventually by resting and celebrating together. Everything is about every single Jew being involved in the mitzvah of Purim. It's fascinating that the post can bring down that specifically when it comes to Mikra Megillah, we bring everyone to shul, even the littlest of children, children who are not even higiyu lidei chinuch, legil chinuch, even a little kid who's maybe 4 or 5 years old, as long as they're not making too much noise in shul, we bring them to shul because we want them to be part of this experience, part of the simcha and joy of Purim, to show that our nation is one, that this is a day of Achdus Yisrael. That's why our sudos are always, we try to have as elaborate of a suda and include as many people and friends as possible, and we jump around going from place to place, house to house. It's also that we can experience the day of Purim together as one nation, as an Achdus, as a fulfillment of that sense of Mireus. And what better way to facilitate that feeling, that experience of a sense of Ava and Reyos together than to share with one another, to take what we have and give it to someone else, to say, I care not only about myself and my private family, but I care about every single Jew in Klal Yisrael. That's the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Caring that we see to it that every single Jew has a suda. Going out of our way to exemplify that sense of Ava and Reyos and show everyone in Klal Yisrael that our simcha is not just for ourselves, it's not private, but it's something that we want to share and experience together with everybody else. And if that's the case, then we can really understand why the Rambam says, V'chol hamarbe l'shloach l'reim mishubach. Anybody who sends as much as they can to as many friends as they can, harizah meshubach. And thank God, that's really been the practice in Klal Yisrael for a very long time. And hopefully our study, the halachos of Mishloach Manos, will help us really experience this mitzvah on a much deeper level this year. Very much looking forward to continuing our halacha chabur together next week, where we will discuss Bezas Hashem, the halachos of Tainis Esther. And please, if anybody has any questions, make sure to stay after. We can discuss for as long as you'd like. I'd love to get to know you. Please, the invitation is totally open. Okay, Asher Koch.